All right, would you stand with us this morning? Good morning. It's a wonderful season to worship God. And today we want to sing about the unstoppable God. We've been looking for weeks about the plan of God and how in spite of everything, God's plan is unstoppable. So let's sing about that this morning. Heaven thundered, and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded, and the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Freedom conquered, all our chains undone. Sin defeated, Jesus has overcome. Mercy triumphed when the third day dawned. Darkness was denied when the stone was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Things shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Yes, thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hark the herald angels sing, greet mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, that man no more may die. Born to the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise, the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Thank you, Lord. Let's adore Him. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, come to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of Israel. Yeah.
word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ.
Let us adore Him. Oh,
come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Praise Your name, Lord. We do adore You, Lord. Oh, we adore You, Lord. Oh, blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord.
Beyond all my wildest dreams, Your grace is alive in me. I'm caught in the overflow of mercy that won't let go. Here on this holy ground, standing before You now, Jesus, You are more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how You love me so. Jesus, You are more than enough for me. Finally, my eyes can see. You've never abandoned me. I'm held by the kindness of a Father who won't give up. My Father, You'll never give up. Here on this holy ground, standing before You now, Jesus, You are more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how You love me so. Jesus, You are more than enough, forever strong, forever faithful. All my life, You are enough for me. In every storm, in every battle, all my life, You are enough for me. Forever strong, forever faithful, all my life, You are enough for me. In every storm, in every battle, all my life, You are enough for me. Here on this holy ground, standing before You now, Jesus, You are more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how You love me so. Jesus, You are more, You are more. Here on this holy ground, standing before You more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how you love me so. Jesus, you are more than enough for me. Oh God, thank you, Lord. You're more than enough, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Ariandoro Baba Santeshe. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, today that your grace is sufficient. Jesus, thank you that you're more than enough. God, beyond all our wildest dreams, oh God, and our mind cannot even fathom how much you love us. Oh Jesus, we love you today. Thank you for your grace that's enough, that's more than enough, that's exceedingly abundantly above. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. In the darkness we were waiting with our hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored.
and the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Oh, praise Your name, Jesus! Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. Praise the Father, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Praise forever to the King of kings. Oh, we praise Your name. Oh, we praise Your name, Lord. Praise forever to Your name, Your mighty name. Oh, glory and honor and praise. Mahatashe. Oh, we give You glory, Lord. Oh, we lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, Ramama Mantasha. Your name. Praise Your name. Thank You, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if you feel the Spirit of the Lord inspiring you with the Word today, we want to invite you to share that. The Lord gives you a prophetic word, something from His heart. We want you to feel free to share that thing. Glory to Your name, Lord. Oh, Rabba Baba Kestara Mama Mama Tarabashi Tarabakite. Praise Your name. Seated. Thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You today that there is abundant life in You, Lord. We can always find it in you. Lord, there's always enough water to drink. There's always enough to eat, Father, in the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you today that you are more than enough. Father, we just want to avail ourselves to receive all that you want to pour out in us. Father, help us to lift our expectation. Help us to lift our hearts, Father. Help us to be willing to receive more than we have had before. Oh, God, help us. Lord, we thank you for that wonderful water that we just heard about. And, Lord, that it's your will to give us that, Father. We thank you for it. Help us to be able to receive all of that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now we're on. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. I'd like to thank you all for remembering to pray for Kate Rulison. I think that Kate had some aspersions about making it to church today, and I think she realized that was probably not going to happen. But when I saw her yesterday, I walked in the house, and there was a healthcare lady that was there helping her. But she walked out, and I saw joy on Kate's face. She had the biggest smile, and she came walking out with her walker, and she is doing great. She is doing great. And her swelling is going down. She, her incision is better. She has pain, but she said, guess what? She said, I haven't needed, and this was in the evening, she said, I haven't needed a pain pill since 7 o'clock this morning. So she was like, yes. So I want to thank you for praying for her. Please continue to lift Kate up as she's got a little bit of a road ahead of her to kind of recover from all of that. But continue to please lift her up. I'm going to be selfish and ask you if you would lift my wife and I up this week. We have huge concerts this week. I'm going to stage 140 kids on Tuesday night. My wife is going to be directing the Bolivar Richburg High School Orchestra on Wednesday night. And then on Thursday night, I'm going to be directing three bell choirs and a chorus of about 70 kids. So 'tis the season to be nervous. So, I'm sorry, there is another music teacher here. Monday, Wednesday. So there's a concert for you to pray for every day of the week. And then Friday is the Fountain Arts Orchestra up here. So, and the choir. So we've got Monday for Kelly, Tuesday for me, Wednesday for Carol and Kelly, Thursday for me, and Friday for Fountain Arts Orchestra. Yeah. Fa la 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 la. Yeah, so, but we covet your prayers. You look at the students and you rehearse with them, and when it's time to get up for the concert, you look at every one of them as like little time bombs. And you hope and pray that none of them go off. Please don't let anything blow up, please. Yes. Oh, yes, thank you, Katie Rulison. Her birthday is today, and if I had had my head on straight, I would have sent a card around. During the fellowship time, we'll send a card around. And I thought it would be really fun if I was going to put my phone on speaker and we could sing happy birthday to Kate. Would that be fun during fellowship time? Yeah. I brought her a piece of cake last night. And so hopefully she'll save that for today. I don't know if it made it till today or not. But yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for our sister Kate and Lord, the blessing that she has been here in the body, how you have led her. Father, I remember listening to her testimony of how faithfully you led her
as she sought you through difficult point after difficult point, you met her over and over. Your faithfulness was evident. And so, Father, we pray that you would extend that faithfulness to Kate today, that you would touch her body, heal her, restore her to fellowship, Lord. I know she's just bound and determined to be here next week, but Lord, I pray that you would help her to regain her mobility, that you would give her release from any pain, no infection, and help her to recover quickly and rebound. Bless her recovery, Father. Thank you that everything went so well. Thank you for her joyful heart and spirit. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to present songs at this season about Jesus, Lord. And Lord, as these concerts come, we pray that the songs that honor you would stick in people's hearts and minds. Lord, for my concerts, for Carol, for Kelly, I pray that you would give us grace to be a light in the schools where you've placed us, Father, and that the idea of Christmas would rest heavy in people's hearts this year, especially as they listen. Bless those concerts. Let everything go well. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Okay, well, today I would like to continue our series that I have titled, Behold, a Savior is Born. I hope you can see that past the stuff. We're going to continue that. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the absolutely indisputable prophecies that began very, very generally, and we looked at how they funneled down more and more accurate until they finally predict the very place and the very time that Jesus would be born, who would be there, who it would be announced to. We were listening to something very interesting yesterday. Sometimes we say, well, we can't prove the existence of God. We have to accept it by faith. I want to say to you that we do not live by blind faith. We have proof. We have proof that it's true. Thousands of years of indisputable prophetic words by God. We have proof that it's true. We're not just some people who wander around blindly believing what we've been told. No. We have proof. We know that the gospel is true. We know that God is there, and we know that he's faithful. Last week, we looked at having joy and how that having joy is really, I want to feel joy. And so I don't like this definition very much. Joy is really a decision. It's a choice. It's a decision. We can choose to be joyful regardless of our circumstances, and our circumstances do not determine our joy. And we looked at those examples of joy from Elizabeth and Mary and the shepherds and many others who trusted in God's faithfulness and anticipated what he was going to do. We actually talked about how the anticipation, believing what God is going to do, can cause joy to well up. Just like John the Baptist in his mother's womb rejoiced, Elizabeth rejoiced, and Jesus had not even been born yet. He had not done a single thing. But there was an anticipation of what God was going to do. Can you believe God for what he's about to do and kind of kick that spirit of discouragement away that says, oh, I can't get my hopes up too much because I'll just be disappointed and I'll be terrible. So I'm not gonna get my hopes up. You know what? Believe God. Believe God. Believe him for what he's going to do. Believe him for your kids. Believe him for your family. Believe for the things that you're praying for, that he is going to do it. Anticipate it and let it birth some joy in your heart. I want to speak against the spirit of discouragement today. I'm standing here, and as soon as I said that, I've had such a sense of the spirit of discouragement that has come where people have felt like they're just throwing prayers up especially for your family and your loved ones. Just kind of throwing those prayers up and hoping, well, maybe it'll happen. No. Get rid of that discouragement and believe God. God is able to do it. Oh, I really feel that in my spirit today. If you're believing, especially you're believing for your children, for your loved ones, God is going to move. Oh, he's going to move. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. You can take that to the bank. I feel that as strongly as any prophetic word I've spoken in this church. Wow. Glory to God. In other words, how God has shown up before, how he's showing up now, and how he's going to show up in the future are our reasons for joy. How he showed up before, how he's showing up now, and how he is going to show up in the future. And he's going to show up in the flesh. He's coming back. And it's absolutely, positively going to happen. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Today we're going to look at how Jesus entered the world and left it. When I was a kid, my brother used to get terribly annoyed with the idea of the cross at Christmas time. I remember we were out looking at Christmas decorations once, and we were looking at all the city lights, and one big apartment building had blocked out all of their lights except for ones that formed the shape of a cross, and it was a illuminated cross in the night. And my brother was indignant. He said, "This is Christmas. This is about Jesus' birth. That signifies his death." And I just looked at him and I said, "Why did Jesus come? What does Christmas point to?" Oh. In both his birth and his death today, I want to see an unmistakable example in Jesus' life of complete and total servanthood. Complete and total servanthood. I would title my message today, Christmas and Servanthood. Let's look at Luke 22:24-27. A dispute arose, also arose among the disciples as to which of them would be considered the greatest. So Jesus declared, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you shall not be like them. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who leads like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines? But I am among you as one who serves." The pattern for Jesus' life was complete servanthood. Always, always serving. Never taking, always giving. Now, Jesus' entrance on earth was a big surprise in a lot of ways. Lots of people didn't expect it, didn't see it coming, although we think that maybe they ought to have. In Luke 2, 1 through 7, it says, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of the whole empire." What a creep. I look at this and think, how could you do this? This was the first census to take place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. Ay, ay, ay. "So Joseph also went up from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, since he was from the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him in marriage and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her child to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." You know, before we launch into that story, I want to just take note of the woman that God chose to bring Jesus into the world. Do you notice that God did not choose the queen? He did not choose the queen. He did not choose the queen's daughter, the princess. No. Jesus, God did not choose a rich man's daughter. He didn't choose from the elite. Who did he choose? He chose a complete nobody. Mary was a nobody. She was nothing. In other words, somebody ordinary of no consequence. In God's sight, Mary was not nothing. In God's sight, he comes and he says, "You who are highly favored." Isn't that what the angel said? Highly favored. I want to tell you today, do not ever think that God, you are too ordinary or you are too average to bear the presence of God and be used by God in an extraordinary way. Did you hear the prophetic word this morning? Drink the water. Do you see what God has for you, what he wants to fill you up with? That is for you. It was for Mary. It was for the ordinary people. And it was a completely humble choice. By today's success standards, you know, if you go to business things, God completely screwed it all up, messed it up. Should have had the big celebrity of the day. That's who should have, because it would have been more visible. Well, that's not God's plan. God was willing to come to us in a humble way, not with the flash and glitz. And the lesson, the takeaway on this thing is that God can use anyone. God can use anyone. That means God can use you. God can, just like he put Jesus within Mary, he can put his presence on you, and you can go and bring that presence wherever you go. And I hope that you can understand, and I'm asking God every day as I pray, say, Lord, let the presence of Jesus in me affect everyone that I come in contact with. The presence of Jesus in your life is going to have a profound effect. Just like the presence of Jesus caused Elizabeth and John the Baptist to leap inside her womb. That presence of Jesus, you bear that presence. And God can use that in the people all around you. In Luke 2, Joseph, Mary, and the unborn Jesus have to leave home and travel to the big city for a census. I don't know what Quirinius. I don't know what Caesar was thinking. You know, it means that of the whole Roman Empire, the Roman Empire was pretty big, and that meant that everybody had to leave wherever they were. You know, now when we take a census, it comes in the mail. I open the front door, take the census out, fill it in, drop it in the mail. Done. They had to leave, travel, and, you know, no Ford Mustang in those days, and travel. And what a pain. I don't know what Caesar was thinking. He wanted his tax money. That's what he wanted. And of course, Murphy's Law, when does the census land? It couldn't land right after the angel announces it to Mary. No, it couldn't even be the first month that she's pregnant, the second, the third month. No. Month number 9, here it comes. It's like, oh my gosh, she's 9 months pregnant. And Nazareth to Bethlehem was like 90 miles on foot. You know, we see this nice picture of Joseph leading Mary on a donkey, and they're always smiling. Oh yes, and they're wandering, and it's a happy little journey. Well, here, I think I put it up. I hope I did. Did I put that up? Oh, you can't even see it. That's pathetic. Well, up at the top is Nazareth. Down at the bottom is Bethlehem. And I Google mapped it. This is a modern map. But it's 90 miles by foot. 26 hours of walking. Now, you don't just walk for 26 hours. And if you're 9 months pregnant, you really don't walk. No. No, this is not happening. So, and I believe Mary had to walk. You know, Mary and Joseph, we don't get the idea that they were affluent in any way. When they presented Jesus in the temple, they gave the very poorest offering that was allowed under the law. I don't know if they had an animal. My wife likes to think that Mary had an animal, but I don't know. I think that, I don't know. I feel like if that was my wife, she'd be tempted to say, Dave, go to Walmart, get a mannequin, draw my face on it, and take that with you. I'm staying here. Do you think that Mary had an opportunity to question the plan of God in this? It was like, God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me now? Do you see the difficulty that the plan of God brought her into? Mary didn't know when she said, Behold the servant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. The angel didn't say, you're going to walk 90 miles, 9 months pregnant. But it was God's plan that put her in a difficult place. And yet it was the plan of God. Do you know that in difficulty, you can still walk through the plan of God? You can still do it. The city was full of travelers. And if I was Joseph, I'd have been freaking out. You know, they get there, and probably everybody else got there ahead of the pregnant lady because, you know, they had to take it really slow. And so when they get there, everything's full. There isn't any place to go. And Joseph can't find any place for them to stay, and everybody else got there ahead of them. So here's poor Mary, and she has to have, and she's like, okay, find me something. I'm having this baby now. So they ended up, the only real description that we get was that she had him, laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. But a manger in those days, if we look at some of the history, it's very likely this was a cave. And a manger is essentially a feed trough. And it probably looks something, I hope you can see this one. What they would have done in these caves is they would have taken an outcropping of stone and chiseled it out and made the feeding trough. So it's very possible that this manger she laid him in was in a cold, dark, dank cave, and that was where Jesus laid for the first time on a stone feeding trough. It could have been one of those little wooden hay things. We don't really know, but that's my suspicion that it could have been something like that. So Jesus came into the world in a lowly, humble way, and this was all intentional. It was absolutely the plan of God. He didn't come in a great way. He didn't come with any kind of pomp, with any kind of, it was very humble and very low. And this was God connecting with humanity in a very vulnerable way. Coming this way, Jesus immediately from his birth, identifies with marginalized and ordinary people. Just regular people. It's Christmas time when we're reminded that God's love, his presence, and his plan are not reserved for the elite. It's for everybody. And it sets a precedent for the rest of Jesus' life. His entrance was the marquee that showed what the rest of his life would be like. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, it says, emptied himself. Do you see that picture in the birth of Jesus? How he had no place to go. He had to be born in a cave. You know, there was no grand announcements, except for a few people, the shepherds who saw it on the hillside, the magi who saw a star. But most people, it came not with a big, grand TV commercial. no fireworks. And it says then, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus was willing to do anything. He came to serve, not to just to be served. John 13, 12 through 15. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he reclined with them again and asked, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because I am. Because I am. I don't want you to miss that. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you. Is Jesus telling us that we should all be on the floor washing each other's feet? He's saying, serve each other. Serve each other, please. Tom Brazell in Men's Bible Study, I said it before. Sorry, Tom, I'm going to say it again. He said, I'll help you. I'll serve you. If you need something, I'll give it to you. If you need my help, I'll come help you fix something. He says, but you can keep your feet to yourself. And I just, you know, I want to tell you that I feel the same way. So this is not Jesus telling us, you know, and people like to symbolically do this, but what Jesus is saying is, look, I am the creator of the universe. The creator of the universe is here washing your feet. The creator washed the created. Truly, truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Luke 22, 26 and 27. But you shall not be like them. Like who? The Gentiles and the religious leaders and the people who always want to put themselves forward. This is the time where they were arguing, again, as we looked at it earlier, about which disciple would be the greatest. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who leads like the one who serves. And that last sentence, I am among you as one who serves. So we have Jesus, the creator of the universe, stepping way down, wow, having to give up everything and enter our world as a baby. He chose to be born in a stable. That was his decision. He experienced all the limitations of humanity that all of us go through from the moment he was born until his death. He was not partly human. You know, we like to think, well, he was Jesus. Well, he wasn't partly human and partly God. He was 100% human, 100% God, and he went through everything. And suffering was not omitted from his time on this earth. Well, we know that at the end of his life, but Jesus suffered a lot. He was certainly not born into wealth. Those who knew the family may have considered him as a young man to be an illegitimate child. And there are Jewish traditions even now that you read that name him the son of a Jewish soldier. We don't need to go any farther with that. But he knew what it meant to have stigma. And at some point in his young life, he was fatherless. His father died. Joseph's not there anymore. We have a Savior who walked through all the difficulties that we face. Everything. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. Yet was without sin. There are some very interesting connections between Jesus' birth that we celebrate and his death. There's lots and lots and lots of them as you look at them in the scripture. Some of them almost seem more like trivia, but I want to look at three particular ones. But please remember that Christmas is only relevant as it points to Easter. The cradle is only relevant as it points to the cross. That's the only thing. His birth is only relevant as it points to his death and resurrection. And there's a few interesting ways that Jesus' birth intersects with his death, and I want to just look at those for a minute. Number one, he was rejected of men. In Luke 2:7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Mark 15, I think that's not right. Yeah, I guess it is. And wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. There was no place for Jesus when he was born, and there was nobody to stand up for him at the end. There was nobody. Jesus did that by himself. He was rejected at his birth, rejected in his death. Number two, interestingly, myrrh was present at both of these times, and I think it's a very important point to take note of. Matthew 2:11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And each of those gifts is symbolic of something of Jesus' life. But that myrrh was used to treat and not embalm, I guess that would be more Egyptian, but to preserve the body of someone who had died. That was the primary use of myrrh. So to give myrrh as a gift at somebody's birth, I think, was almost very unusual. But what does it point to? It points to what Jesus is going to suffer. John 19:39, Nicodemus, who had previously come to Jesus at night, also brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. 75 pounds of it! Wow! That's a lot of myrrh. It points to his death. Myrrh was present. Again, his purpose. Number three, he was hailed as a king. Matthew 2, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And then John 19:19, Pilate also had a notice posted on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but only that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" And Pilate very wisely replies, "What I have written, I have written." So Jesus was hailed as the king when he was born in a cave, in a manger. He was also hailed as a king as he hung on a cross between two criminals. Do you see that he's the king, but do you see the life that he lived? Do you see the absolute willingness of Jesus to do anything? Nothing was beneath him. Nothing at all was beneath Jesus. He was not too good to do anything for anyone. And what are we admonished in Philippians 2? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I found an interesting quote, and we don't know who said it. Oh, please go. Hello. Well, maybe we're not going to get to see it. Oh, there we go. "Christ was content with a stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die." Christ was content with a stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we have a choice in this life. And it's a choice that if you're like me, you got to make it every day. Every day I have to choose. Selfishness or selflessness. My flesh wants to be selfish. It's a battle I fight every day. Selfishness, or will I choose today to be selfless? Is there something that I do and I do and I do 99 times and the 100th time you say, I'm tired, I don't want to do it, let somebody else do it, or I can die to myself and do it again? We can choose to be served, or we can choose to be a servant. We can choose selfishness or selflessness. And here's what, John 15, 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So today I want to ask you, and I'm asking this of myself, how can you lay down your life for others? How can you serve others? How does God want to use you to be a servant? The song that we sang, this from the scripture, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. What does that look like for you? What is God speaking to you about? How can you serve somebody else? Maybe you can serve your neighbor. Maybe you can serve that person you work with that's annoying. There are lots of ways that God can use you to love other people and serve them and lay down your life. And please remember that when you lay down your life and serve other people, it is worship. It is worship. Matthew 25:37. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatsoever you did for one of the least of these my brothers of mine, you did for me. When you serve other people, you are serving Jesus. You're doing it for him. I have a wonderful quote. I'm not sure I've got it 100% right, but it was from that very precious lady, Mother Teresa. Regardless of what you may think of her religious affiliation, she was a tremendous, amazing woman of God. Absolutely amazing in her life. Absolutely selfless person who lived her life to serve others. She said, it sounds a little graphic. She said, when I hold the heads of the lepers when they die, I'm with Jesus. When I hold the heads of the lepers when they die, I'm with Jesus. In other words, there she is with a person who is diseased and comforting them in their very last moments. And she said, I'm with Jesus. I'm doing this with him. I was looking down the quotes that she had in her life, and as I read them, I just felt like they stripped me bare. I was like, God, I am such a selfish person. But God doesn't want to lay upon us an essence of guilt so that we feel like, yes, God's saying, you're a miserable, selfish person. What he's saying is, there is such a tremendous release of the Spirit of God when you can stop looking inward and spend your time looking outward. And when you give to others, that's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Some of the happiest moments of my life was where I was able to just invest myself into somebody else, bless them somehow. And not so I could feel like, well, I'm a great guy. No, I just wanted to do it to help them. And, you know, there's this wonderful splashback that you get from that as you're willing to serve other people. And I hope that you'll be challenged to seek God as to how you can serve others. How you can, just as Jesus emptied himself, how you can have that mind in you and be willing in this time. Look at Christmas as the ultimate example of servanthood. Father, we thank you today that you desire for us to walk in Jesus' steps, as we're admonished in the scriptures, that we should walk in his steps. And Father, it meant for him not a life where he was very recognized, although there were times where he was mightily recognized. He did not have riches and fame and accolades. Father, I pray that you would help us to be willing to be the ones that get down on the floor and wash the feet, that are willing to do anything to serve and to serve other people. And Father, we know that sometimes as we serve, it opens the door to share the gospel, to share Jesus with other people. Lord, when we have the opportunity to meet needs in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you would help us today as we think about all of this at Christmas time to realize that the gift of Christmas was the ultimate, the greatest, the most abandonment, and the greatest lavish gift that we could ever receive, that you came down to us and gave up everything so that we could come to know you and could have our sins washed away and know that one day we will be forever in heaven, forever with you. Father, we thank you for that. We pray that you would help us to serve one another and to love one another and to lay our own needs aside to be able to bless other people. And in doing so, we know that you'll provide for us because you are a faithful God. And Father, I just want to take a moment to pray, as we mentioned earlier. God, I want to think of every child, every family member that people have been praying and believing for. And Father, I pray that especially at this Christmas season, that those people's hearts would be turned toward God, that you would remind them of what they've heard, that you remind them of what Christmas means, and God, that you would do a mighty work in their lives. And help us to pray faith-filled prayers, Lord, not prayers fearing disappointment, but prayers of anticipation and expectation for what you're going to do in their lives. I pray for every a prodigal child, every family member that's walked away, that's on a person's heart here today. God, in Jesus' name, move in them, reach them, and touch their hearts for the gospel. And Father, we want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you want prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. We are going to have fellowship time. If you saw the Wellsville Full Gospel Cafe when you came in, some things are slowly starting to sneak out from the kitchen, but we are going to have a lovely lunch, and we invite everybody to stay. If you didn't bring anything, it doesn't matter.
Pastor,
yes.
Church supplies. People weren't supposed to bring anything.
Right. But there were some things that did actually come donated, and quite often our idea is that, you know, it's a bring something. And so it's not a bring something, it's a come eat. Come eat and receive. Oh, but there is an opportunity for servanthood there. At the end, there's going to be tables and chairs to put away and a mess in the kitchen. So if you could stay for a few minutes, it would be easier than just a couple people cleaning everything up. All right, God bless you. And if you want prayer, please come. Someone will be here to pray with you.